I'm going to start by saying good morning and wake up. You know, music is like poetry and it has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. I'm asking each and every one of you to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora, and you're sure to find our quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrations. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, this month is Women's History Month, but just like Black History Month, you know, it's every day. So this week, we continue to focus on women's history with our student hosts, Justin Hill and Brielle Claire, as they deliver reviews of definitions and diamonds. And without any further ado, I'd like to bring in our student host, Justin Hill, to kick off our show and begin with his first segment. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, Mr. Bay, and good morning, everybody. History is like a diamond. Each person represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, you are bound to find yourself. And my diamond segment is on Bill Russell. Bill Russell was born February 12th, 1934, and Sally died on July 31st, 2022. He was an American professional basketball player who played as a center for the Boston Celtics of the National Basketball Association from 1956 to 1969. Russell is widely considered to be one of the greatest basketball players of all time. His shot blocking and man-to-man defense were major reasons for the Celtics' dominance during his career. Russell was equally notable for his rebounding abilities, and he led the NBA. He is one of just two NBA players, him and Wilt Chamberlain, to have grabbed more than 50 rebounds in the game. Russell played with Black Pioneers, Earl Lloyd, Chuck Cooper, and Sweetwater Clifton. And he was also the first Black player to achieve superstar status in the NBA. He also became the first Black coach in the NBA and the first to win a championship. In 2011, Barack Obama awarded Russell with the Presidential Medal of Freedom for his accomplishments on the court and in the civil rights movement. Again, I'm still with Justin Hill. That is it for my segment of Diamonds.
Okay, Justin, before you go away, why do you think President Obama awarded him that Medal of Honor as it pertained to civil rights, especially after you mentioned some of the firsts that he's actually accomplished during his lifetime?
I think Barack Obama presented him with the award because, again, on the court, he was a great basketball player. And during the civil rights movement, he was, you know, marching for African-American people. And that's why I think President Obama awarded him with that.
Okay. You know, a lot of times when I hear and hear conversations about Bill Russell, I often find myself comparing him to Jackie Robinson. Can you imagine why, Justin? Why would I compare Bill? Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think because both of them were the first Black people to play, and Bill Russell was the first to play in a. was the first Black person to play in the NBA, and Jackie Robinson was the first to play in the Major League Baseball.
Okay, well, I'm not certain about being the first Black basketball player in the NBA, but I am certain about the adversity that he had to overcome being a player in Boston and, you know, representing representing Boston as a basketball player was very challenging because they called him out of his name more than one time. I'd like to see if I can, Mr. Harris. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're talking about Bill Russell. And I'm kind of comparing him to Jackie Robinson, and I'm wondering, am I off base by doing that? And specifically, I'm talking about the adversity that both men had to overcome dealing with prejudice and that whole racist thing.
Yeah, well, and if you want to compare the two. Because of the times that both of them were introduced to the league, you know, we're talking the 50s, late 40s after World War II, when a lot of Black people were starting to spread their wings, per se, and starting to become a part of mainstream America. Most people in America still wasn't feeling it as of today. You know, but, you know, he spoke out about a lot of stuff. You know, Bill Russell was the one who, whenever the team would go somewhere to play, he couldn't stay in a hotel and stuff with the rest of the team. He had to find him somewhere else to stay. Even though he was one of the most dominant players in the league, he still, to the rest of the country, was just another Black guy. And, you know, and they didn't let Black people do certain things in certain places. And, you know, and he stood up. He said, well, if I can't go and stay in a hotel with my team, I'm not going to play. Now, of course, that caused the team to try to make some kind of concessions with the hotels and the different restaurants that the team was doing, because he was, like Justin said, he was one of the most dominant players in the league. So, you know, he and Jackie Robinson went through similar stuff, you know, because of the times that they were doing it. And, you know, and Bill Russell was real adamant about whenever somebody was doing something against, you know, a person's right to have certain things and go certain places, he would always become a part of whatever that activity was. You know, like when they had a Black Power Summit in New Jersey, and Bill Russell was a small part of that, but he was still an integral part of doing stuff that was helping clear the playing field for others, for all Americans, actually. And that's a good way of putting them both together, because they both did the same thing.
Right. And Bill Russell was one of the athletes of the time during Muhammad Ali's boycott of participating in the draft to fight in the war. And so there have been many fronts that Bill Russell fought on, not just on the basketball court, but off the basketball court. And so, Justin, I would say good choice for your diamond for the day, Bill Russell, a man who fought in more than one front. Okay? And so now, with that being said, I'm going to continue musically, right, with a song by the Isley Brothers. But as it pertains, it's titled Work to Do. But, you know, our society, our country, still has a lot of work to do.
I gotta make it for you, and I gotta make it
that was the sound of the Isley Brothers. Right now, we want to continue and going right on back to our student host, Justin Hill, for his first segment of Definitions. Take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And this is like a diamond. Each prism, this segment provides the listener with the words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have defined forms. And my definition segment is on the word outspoken. In stating one's opinion, especially if they are critical or controversial, direct and open in speech or expression. And that is it for my segment of definitions. And I chose the word outspoken because as a person, Bill Russell was outspoken during his career and after his career. And that is it. And again, you are listening to good host Justin Hill on WSOU.
All right. So now, as we continue, let's see what we have musically.
Nothing. Where's the love?
And we're back. That was the sound of Eric Benet, Where Does the Love Go? And now it is time for our next student host, Riel Claire. Good morning, Riel. Take it away for your first segment of Diamonds.
Thank you, Mr. Bay, and good morning, everyone, and happy Women's History Month. And today for my first segment on Diamonds, I will be doing Elizabeth Coleman. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Elizabeth, also known as Bessie, was born on January 26, 1892 in Atlanta, Texas. When Bessie was 2 years old, her family moved to Waxahachie, Texas, to become sharecroppers. At the age of six, she walked 4 miles each day to attend her segregated school that was only one room. She loved reading and defined herself as an outstanding math expert. She completed elementary in that school. And at the age of 12, Bessie was accepted into the Missionary Baptist Church School on scholarship. When she turned 18, she spent her savings on the Oklahoma Colored Agriculture and Normal University in Longston, Oklahoma. 5 years later, she moved to Illinois, Chicago, with her brothers. In Chicago, she worked as a manicurist at the White Sox Barbershop. She started to hear stories about flying during World War I. So she started a second job as being a restaurant manager for hopes to become a pilot. American flight schools admitted neither women nor black people. So Robert A. Abbott encouraged her to study. She went to France to earn her pilot license. She learned to fly and became the first black woman to become a pilot and earned an international aviation license. She continued flying planes for public planes until line where she crashed her plane and broke. She did what she had to do after feeling better, but unfortunately she died April 39, 1926. And two things I wanted to say was one of them was a quote that I liked from her where she said the air is the only place free from prejudice. And another thing that I wanted to add was Carol Hobson, who is a black woman who flew a Boeing 737, which is an aircraft, and flew it. And there is 4% of black people as pilots today, which is crazy, but Bessie Coleman inspired Carol. And again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my first segment for today.
Okay. Thank you for that extra tidbit of information, especially the percentage of black pilots, let alone black female pilots. But Carol Hobson is basically an inspiration within herself, being inspired by Bessie Coleman. She actually she started her own aviation pilot school, particularly for black women in America, and she's still living to this day. And if you run across any black pilots, male or female, they will know the name of Carol Hobson, and that is in today's news. I want to bring Mr. Harris in on this. Carol Hobson, Bessie Coleman, do you have a comment?
Yeah, well, as far as Bessie Coleman is concerned, you know, we got to understand that when she was doing stuff, they had really, the Wright brothers had just really got this whole aviation thing going like 20 years before she even got started. And at that time, around the turn of the century, there weren't a lot of people of color doing anything, especially when it came to avionics, anything scientific. We were really in the background a lot. And the fact that she had to leave the country to actually get a license, regardless of her qualifications, that was something that she felt was important enough to do. And again, like, it inspired the few people that are pilots, because I didn't realize it was that small, 4%. But that's, somebody had to like light the fire. And Betsy Coleman was one of the ones that done that.
Okay. You know, when we talk about Carol Hobson, right, and I realize you don't have a knowledge base of her at this readily moment, right? But I just want to add, Riel and Mr. Harris and Justin and anybody in the listening view, peripheral, right, that, you know, to become a pilot is very expensive. And this is the reason, the motivation behind Carol Hobson, right, to cut the cost by opening up her own pilot aviation school so that other blacks would have the opportunity to find that freedom in the air or become a pilot and, you know, change their entire lives. And that being said, it's time for another musical mix, right? You know, I'm going to go with this mega mix, but we're going to see what it is. Check it out.
Thank you.
As we fade down the music, it's time for Riel to come back and hit us with your next segment of definitions. Take it away, Riel.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And like you said, I am here with my next segment of definitions on dependence. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. Dependence, the state of relying on or being controlled by someone or something else. And the origin of that comes from a nice medieval French word meaning to hang from or to hang down. And again, you are listening to Brielle on WSLU 89.5 FM. And that is it for my first definition for today.
Could you please, Riel, tell us again how your definition relates to Bessie Coleman?
Because she was dependent and became the first African-American woman to be a pilot. And she didn't let people control her in any way. So, like she said in her quote, she said how the air is the only place free from prejudice. Meaning, yes, so prejudice, and yeah, that's it.
Well, I have a question for you, Brielle. What kind of fortitude, and here's the word again, adversity, fortitude and adversity that she had. She had to have fortitude, which meant that she wouldn't give up. But how do you think, you know, she took that adversity? You know, you're black. We don't allow black people, let alone black women, into our pilot programs or schools to get licensed. That's unheard of. What kind of person do you critically analyze, and what do you think she kind of person you think she was?
I think she was a confident person because she didn't let racism and difficulties get to her. So she did her career. So she went to a different country. She went to France and she got her pilot license. So I think that she didn't let anything stop her, and she just kept going as a confident person.
Okay. Thank you so much. And we're going to continue musically. And, you know, I often say, well, you know, this is not potluck radio, but it might be musically as we listen to the sound of Donny Hathaway. Oh, that's Donny Holiday.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And it's now time for my next segment of Diamonds, and it is on Angela Davis. Angela Davis was born January 26, 1944, in Birmingham, Alabama. She is an American feminist and political activist. She is a professor at the University of California, Santa Cruz. She writes extensively on class, gender, race, and the U.S. prison system. Davis has received various awards, including the induction into the National Women's Hall of Fame. In 2020, she was listed as the 1971 Woman of the Year in Time Magazine's 100 Women of the Year Education, which selected iconic women over the 100 years since women's suffrage in the United States of America from 1920. In 2020, she was included on Time's list of the 100 most influential people in the world. She has continued to write and remained active in movements such as Okapi and the Boycott. Again, I am student host Justin Hill, and that is it for my segment of Angela Davis.
Okay, so please tell us what motivated you to choose her as a diamond for today?
I think Angela Davis because, for one, she was an activist, and that means she stood against slavery or racial inequality, and that's why I chose her.
Okay, well, since you mentioned it, please share with us your definition that coincides with Angela Davis.
Okay. My definition segment is on racial equality. Racial equality is when people of all races and ethnicities are treated in an equal manner. Also, racial equality occurs when institutions give individuals legal, moral, and political rights. And the reason why I chose racial equality for my definition is because that's what Angela Davis wanted. And that's why I chose it.
Okay. Mr. Harris, I want to bring you in on this. Angela Davis, what do you know about her? Racial equality as it relates to her.
Yeah, well, I'm I know little things about him. You know, Justin gave a good background as far as what she was about. But, you know, a lot of her focus was on the prison industrial complex. You know, she was really against, you know, prisons the way they were set up, the way that people were being put in prisons, you know, mainly us as a larger part of the, or being such a small part, small part of the actual population, we're in prisons in a larger part than anybody else. And, you know, and she was against that. She was, because, you know, sometimes if you know, families and stuff are being broken up, if the father goes to prison, then the breadwinner in the family is gone, and then the family goes through different struggles, and there's not a lot of rehabilitation coming up within the system. And that's kind of what she was really focusing on most of her life. You know, even though she was outspoken in a lot of other areas of civil rights, that was where she really, like, focused a lot of her attention, is on the, you know, she just said, we, you know, an abolishment of the prison system the way it's set up. Not that criminals don't need to be confined, but the inhumane services and stuff that went along with that. And, you know, even though it has got somewhat better, it's still archaic. And she was a big advocate of that.
Okay. You know, one of the things that I need to highlight is the fact that Angela Davis is still alive. Am I correct?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, so you guys, you and Justin talking about it in past tense. She was. She is.
You know what? Right. And she's still a professor at the University of California. You know, she's, matter of fact, she's a professor emeritus, which means the highest level that you can be and still be a scholar and a teacher and stuff. You know, she does a lot of stuff. As a matter of fact, she grew up in the same community that Condoleezza Rice grew up in when those little girls got blown up in the church in Alabama. They were from the same area. And, you know, and they're both still alive. And, you know, so when you talk about racism and other things like that, everything isn't like past history. Some of this stuff is current history that's just being repeated over and over again.
Right. That's because when you don't learn from history, you're destined to repeat it. And that's the importance and significance of a show like ours. And so that being said, I'd like to go into more music by the sounds of Chic. And wait a minute, it might not be, but let's have it. A good time. Good time.
Thank you.
And we're back. I'd like to bring in our next student host, Brielle Claire. Brielle, take it away with your final two segments. Please do your diamond and your definition back to back. Take it away, Brielle.
Thank you, Mr. Vay. And like you said, I'm here with my next segment for today on diamonds, which is on Max Robinson. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. And for today, like I said, I will be doing Max Robinson. Max was born on May 1st, 1939. Max was the second born from his four siblings. He went to a segregated school with his siblings, and in high school, he was the class president. He began his television career when he was a little older. He was hired at WTOV-TV in Portsmouth, Virginia, but instead, he had to read hiding behind the news logo, and one day, he had the slide from the logo removed, but was fired the next day. He went to WRC-TV and stayed there for 3 years. He earned 6 journalist awards. He then won 2 Emmys for a documentary he made on Black life entitled The Other Washington. He teamed with Dan Peterson and became the first African-American anchor on television news. He began very successful. He fought a lot of racism to get where he was. He established a program for young Black broadcast journalists. 3 years after retiring, he sadly died on December 30th, 1988. And again, you are listening to Brielle, and that is it for my segment on Max Robinson.
Well, that can't be it, because you have to tell us what motivated you to choose Max Robinson as your diamond for today.
So what motivated me to choose Max Robinson for today was how he was the first African-American to be an anchorman on TV, and I found that very interesting, so that's why I chose him.
Please continue into your definition.
So my definition for today is on anchorman. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And the definition for anchorman is a person who represents and coordinates a live television or radio program involving other contributors. For an example, he was the first African-American anchorman, and the etymology of this word comes from the Latin anchora, an anchor, which is from or cognate, with Greek and anchor, a hook. And that is it for my last segment for today on definitions.
Okay. So I'd like to go straight to Justin. Justin, give us a wrap-up of all the segments and maybe a little something that you may have learned in the process. Take it away. The real deal, Justin Hill, with a behind-the-mic review of today's segments for your particular lineup.
Well, first, my diamond segment was on Bill Russell. He was a professional basketball player, and my definition for him was on the word outspoken. I chose outspoken because during his career and after his career, he was an outspoken person on the court and during the civil rights movement. And my next diamond segment was on Angela Davis. And Angela Davis, she is still alive today, and she was an American feminist and a political activist. And she is a professor at the University of California. And my definition segment for her was on the word racial equality. I chose racial equality because as an activist, she was trying to have racial equality. And something that I learned was B.L.'s diamond segment. He was the first anchor man on the news, and that's what I learned.
Okay. Brielle, without giving us a complete rundown, just simply tell us what you may have learned today.
I learned more about Bessie Coleman and how she was the first African-American woman to fly a plane, and I think that was very interesting, so that's why I chose her. And that's it.
Okay. So, Justin, I'd like for you to close us out.
I want to thank everyone for joining us on another episode of WSOU. Make sure you check out our next show on 89.5 FM on next Saturday from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Questy Radio is the best youth radio.
Yes, sir. See, what we're about to do right now is pay tribute to a living legend. So I brought Naturally 7 with me to do the beat. And I brought DCP's own Rudy Current. And me, I go by the name of Ludacris, right? And it's a lot of people out there claiming that they bosses, but I'm here to let you know the true boss is back. Let's go!
Three brothers, two souls, life and no stress. Be back on the line. The true soul boss is over. Better respect your roots. I hope you're taking notice. Because he's the dude coming back in motion.
Keep a flock of people.